So this month's worship and community theme is courage. And that's a good theme for today and for this month of October, as there are many holy days and celebration and observances related to courage this month, and I want to draw some of those to your attention. This weekend, though it was not quite October, was the Jewish observance of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And during the 10 days of repentance from Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, to Yom Kippur, Jewish people fast, worship, pray, and meditate on their sins. And also, they ask people against whom they have sinned to forgive them. On Yom Kippur itself, forgiveness is asked of God, because one's fate is judged and sealed for the coming year on Yom Kippur. It takes a great deal of courage to be aware of one's shortcomings, sins, mistakes, and failures, and to ask forgiveness from others and from God. October is Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, Queer History Month, and October 11th is National Coming Out Day. The history of LGBTQ people is one of unending courage, strength, and resilience in the face of great oppression. And coming out as an LGBTQ person is an act of self-love and self-affirmation, as well as of courage. October is also Breast Cancer Prevention Month. And I have known many, many breast cancer survivors, and they are some of the most courageous people I know, as are all survivors of major illness and injury. And this is often such quiet courage and resilience. October 9th is Indigenous Peoples Day, a day that many, many, many more folks are celebrating instead of Columbus Day. Indigenous Peoples Day is a commemoration and affirmation of the lives, traditions, and history of the original people of the Western Hemisphere. And to live and to affirm one's Indigenous heritage, any person from any part of the Western Hemisphere, takes a great deal of courage and perseverance. And for white people to acknowledge the genocide of Indigenous people in the context of our shared white supremacy is also an act of courage and a necessary one. So, what is courage? Courage can be defined as the mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. And I would say it's emotional strength as well, mental, emotional, and moral strength to keep on going when things are very hard. As we said in our chalice lighting, the word courage comes from the Latin cor, which means heart, but also refers to the core, to the center of our beings, which is where our heart is. In olden days, all virtues and all emotions were thought to come from the heart, that the heart was where the virtues and emotions literally were generated. And that belief is reflected in all of our metaphorical ways of referring to the heart as the seat of love, authenticity, passion, and commitment. So how do we get to be courageous people? What kind of spiritual growth do we need to be courageous people? And not only as individuals, but my big question today is, what does it mean to be a people of courage, a community of people of courage? So sort of maybe a kind of an obvious first thing that is so necessary is for us to be together as a religious community. Last month, in our water communion, we had a gathering of waters at the end of our ritual where the water of our varied experiences from the last few months were gathered together as a symbol of our unity. Our director of religious education, Molly Clement Jenkins, read a story of a raindrop who yearned to be snow. and it kept not working because the raindrop tried to be snow all by itself. And it was only when that single flake of snow joined with others that the dream of being a beautiful, soft, silent, widespread snowfall could be realized. We are stronger, braver, smarter, wiser, and better when we work together. As author and artist Marianne Redmacher tells us, here's what we have to help each other remember. In addition to the heroic acts that alter history, there are also the daily choices that prevent history from altering us. Battling evil and bending the arc of the universe toward justice deserves praise, but there's also the ordinary work of integrity and not allowing yourself to be bent. This needs to be noticed as well. There's the bravery of embracing your beauty, even when it doesn't fit the airbrushed images around you. There's the courage of calling out the microaggressions that happen almost every day at work. And what about resisting the persistent seduction of status and stuff? The list is long. Turning down that drink one day at a time. Making yourself get out of bed when the depression tells you to stay there. Holding your partner's hand in public. Make no mistake, there are dozens of ordinary acts of courage we rise up to every day. Or maybe we should say, there are dozens of ordinary acts of courage we help each other rise up to every day, right? Courage is not only noble, it's contagious. The bravery that makes it into the history books may save the world, but our ordinary courage keeps each other going. Watching someone else make it through another day helps us endure. Witnessing someone else confront bigotry allows us to bravely be more open about who we are. They say that courage is found by digging deep, but most often it is passed on. So don't worry if you haven't changed the world yet. And certainly, let's stop comparing ourselves to those giants. Our work rests less in looking up to them and more in looking over at and gaining strength from one another. And remembering that others are looking over at and needing strength from us. Part of our shared ministry here is in receiving and giving strength and courage and bravery from and to one another. And that is the work for religious community especially, where you can get that mental and emotional and moral strength. So what else is required for us to be people of courage by ourselves and with one another? This one might sound a little backwards, but maybe not so backwards for people who are willing to receive strength from one another. The second thing needed for everyday courage is vulnerability. Yes, vulnerability. And that might sound kind of weird or paradoxical because we associate vulnerability with words like weakness and fear and being exposed and being unprotected. How can being vulnerable make us brave? Because we all know that to protect ourselves and be healthy, we need boundaries, right? Limits that you set around yourself about what you will do and what you will and won't allow others to do to you. Boundaries are necessary for safety and also to know our limits as people. And to know where we end and others begin. Because if we don't see the edge of ourselves, we can schmoosh into other people in really awful ways. We can all get stuck together with people in ways that are not only yucky, but sometimes actually dangerous when we lose that sense of where we end and begin. And this is true in communities too. We need boundaries in our religious communities. Who is a member and who is not? How do we expect people to behave here? Our covenant of right relations sets some of those boundaries for how we have promised and committed to live with one another here. But being vulnerable is not the same as being unprotected or unsafe or weak. Vulnerability is not about not having boundaries. I think of it as being about permeability, our boundaries that are there for our protection and self-definition must also be permeable. They have to let things in and out in just the right amount. And this was something I really struggled with in my journey to ministry. I think I'm pretty good, and maybe some of you will agree, at setting boundaries. That's a strength of mine. Where I was not so good, where I continue to grow, isn't having my boundaries be permeable. That is, in my protection of myself, I also have to remain open. Our walls have to have doors for others to enter and for ourselves even to flow. This was a struggle for me in becoming a minister. And I will say I am grateful that part of my formation required me to be a hospital chaplain for 400 hours, and I actually did this experience twice, so for me it was 800 hours, and I needed every second and every minute of those hours. And these experiences as a chaplain were really the key to help me understand how this permeability works and to be more permeable. Here's what Elizabeth Krage, a counselor, has to say about vulnerability. She says, every time we open up to others, it is a risk because we don't know how they're going to respond. But this risk is necessary in order to have emotional connection and intimacy with others. Taking a risk is what is essential to have those deep and meaningful connections that we long for, that our human nature requires. Choosing to be vulnerable means choosing to be authentic. Letting others see us for who we really are can provide an opportunity for us to be loved and valued for our authentic selves. This leads to feelings of joy and belonging. Making the choice to be vulnerable is not always comfortable, but most of the rewarding things in life that require courage can be uncomfortable and can come with great risk. I want to go a bit further with this idea. I would say that this courage and the vulnerability dynamic is not linear. It's not just about needing the courage to be vulnerable. I believe that being vulnerable also makes us courageous. It's more of a feedback effect. When we are brave enough to be open and take the risk of connecting as our most authentic selves, we become more courageous because of the success and the benefits and the good feelings that we have in connecting with each other. Being authentic means not hiding yourself. And when you don't have to hide yourself to be safe, then you can become more and more courageous. And this effect is only multiplied in religious community. When we look to each other to be brave, and when we're brave for each other, when we put ourselves out there as our whole selves and are welcomed as our whole selves in this community, we get braver and braver. We get more courageous. So being vulnerable and permeable within our boundaries both requires courage and makes courage. And the results of the cycle of courage, this heart cycle of courage, is that we are sustained when times are so hard, when there's pain, loss, suffering, grief, and fear. In the opening words, I've read of how the good of good morning was missed because a plane, because a truck, because a gun, because a cop, because a government, because suffering, because war, because famine, because it is so hard to rise, to wake, to be a self. In our reflection and prayer this morning, we heard how we can have a hope even when hope and freedom themselves are attacked at the moment of their birth, the way the wasps went after the spiders. We can have hope and we can be sustained and we can embrace one another, even when we're not sure the other's willing to meet us, because we are sustained by the courage that is made by our vulnerability, the courage that is made in this community. Kafius of Nairobi, Kenya, a character in the amazing Netflix series Sense8 that I adore, he understands this so well. In one scene in season 2, Kafius is speaking to a woman journalist in Nairobi who says that her life seems so small and her progress so limited in face of all that is needed by her country and the world. She's overwhelmed by this. Kafius reminds her that her life and its possibilities are so incredibly different and much larger than her grandmother's life possibilities. And then he says this: many terrible things happen every day. They have happened to me, to my family. It's why courage is so important. It takes courage to see such terrible things happen and still get up every day and be able to see what is still beautiful. Our vulnerability, our permeability, is what allows us to see beauty and to be in relationship and to be courageous. If we close our boundaries to protect ourselves from what is terrible in this world, we also shut ourselves off from others, from relationship, from beauty, and from wonder. Our permeability is what keeps us from becoming rigid. Rigid with too much righteousness or zealotry. Rigid with terror, with fear, or with pain. Our courage is born of our vulnerability in this community right here above all others. So today, as I often do, I have some questions for you. And actually, I have a lot of them, and we're going to read them out loud. I'm not saying you need to engage with all of them, but I suggest that you pick the single question that speaks to you the most and let it lead you where you need to go. The aim is to figure out what being part of a people of courage means for you and your daily living, especially in this religious community. So, which question is calling to you? Which one contains your work? And we're going to read them aloud. And if you would like to have the list, please email me. And my email is in the order of service. And I will send you these questions. So let's look at them and read them out loud. 1. Is it time to bravely start trusting people again? Is it time to tell someone how scared you really are? Is it time to bravely admit I was wrong? Is safely tiptoeing around it making you ill? Where are you saying yes when you need to courageously say no? Have you mistakenly convinced yourself that courage can only come with sacrifice? Who says it's always courageous to never give up? How might life be calling you to bravely let it go and walk away? How might your life change if you saw optimism as our time's most courageous act? Instead of standing up and speaking out, is courage now asking you to sit down and listen? Who in your life needs their courage affirmed and celebrated? Who needs to be told that their courage is contagious and helping you be more brave? And maybe some of these questions or all of them do not speak to you. So if they don't include these questions, what life is asking from you, I invite you to spend the next month, the month of courage, listening to your days to hear it. And I close with a prayer from Evan Young. In our reckless yearning to be safe, we turn again and again away from the blessed security of having nowhere left to hide. Give us the courage to lay ourselves bare. Amen and blessed be.